So Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 28, these are God's words. So let us take heed how we hear them. Now Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boiled at all with water, but roast it in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning. And what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to Yahweh throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. And on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For on this same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month, at evening, for 7 days. No leaven shall be found in your houses, since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwellings you shall eat unleavened bread." Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike it in the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For Yahweh will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the doorposts, Yahweh will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you come into the land which Yahweh will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be, when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service, that you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of Yahweh, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. And then the children of Israel went away and did so just as Yahweh had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Happy New Year! That is not a terrible summary of what the Lord tells Moses, and by Moses, the children of Israel at the beginning of Exodus chapter 12. Now, the New King James has supplied the shall be in verse 2 twice. And it may actually be, in fact, the reality that this was already the first month of the year and that the Lord, in his providence, so ordered it that this would happen at the beginning of the year. If that was not the case, then the Lord was changing their calendar and telling them that they would start counting from this. It's a very interesting introduction to the passage, because the passage is all about keeping the Passover, having this meal and this feast in which they would remember how God has saved them from Egypt, and in which they would remember that they deserved what the Egyptians got. That the difference was not so much who was in the house. The difference was the lamb that was sacrificed for the house, and the blood by which those in the house were covered and protected. Now, part of the difference was that it was Israelites and not Egyptians, but what God had done for the Israelites was he had given them his word, he had given them the promise of his salvation, and he had given them obedience to that promise. And so when you are in a house in which God is known as the God of that household, and the commands of God are kept, and the ordinances of God are kept in that house, you know that God has set your house apart. And yet one of the ways he has set your house apart is by making you see and hear over and over again that you deserve the same death and hell that comes upon all those who never hear about Jesus, never believe in Jesus. And so the Lord actually starts out their new year with this feast, remembering how God has saved them, not only looking backward to how God saved them out of Egypt, but by looking forward to the blood of that Lamb who is the Lamb of God who is slain, who takes away not just the sins of Israel, but the sins of the world, everyone who would believe in him. And so he was giving them, and this is really an act of grace, isn't it? That every time they were coming to the end of the previous year, and they were coming to the beginning of the new year, they would know that they were going to celebrate the Passover. And the kids would be really excited for day 10. Not day 14, on which the Passover feast would start, but day 10. Why? If you're listening carefully, what happens on day 10? Day 10 was the day that the Lamb was selected. Day 10 was the day that you got to bring a lamb in, whether from the sheep or from the goats. And even goat lambs are cute. They haven't learned to be goaty yet. And some of you probably like goats. You don't know them very well, but you probably like goats. But as a lamb, a goat is a cute thing. And you know how cute and adorable a baby sheep is. And perhaps as you got closer to day 10, you would be checking them out. And you know you couldn't ask for that one because that has this kind of blemish. And you know you couldn't ask for that one because you had that kind of blemish. But from among the blemishless lambs, you really like this one, so you're not going to ask for that one. Why? Because you're going to bring that lamb into your house. And what happens in a house where you got a baby lamb in the house for 4 days. You can't stop the kids from falling in love with it, can you? You can't stop the parents from falling in love with it, although they're sealing their hearts against that because they know what's about to happen. And on the 14th day, after 4 days, which, whether you've had a puppy or a baby or a lamb, you know, is a very long time to take care of a baby in the house. After 4 days, at twilight, at the same moment in every one of the houses, they have to kill the lamb that the children have fallen in love with. And the children, of course, are going to say, "Why, Mommy? Why, Daddy?" It's because that's what we deserve. And we're going to eat the meat of that lamb tonight to see that God not only gives us a substitute, but He gives us a substitute for our good, for our life, for our strength. And that lamb is going to give up its life by having its blood shed, and we're going to cook it, roast it, which that's a really good way to cook meat. I don't know why anyone would boil it when you could have it roasted anyway. But you couldn't boil it. Why? Because death isn't the only thing that we deserve. We deserve hell, don't we? We deserve fire by which God often communicates to us what His wrath is like, a burning fire or an unquenchable flame, the Lord Jesus would say. And so there's both death and hell represented to them. And you can see is how the Lord, even in the order in which they were to keep the feast, would especially target the children. Notice that even the meal that they were to have was to provoke questions by the children. And I do want to call your attention to the fact that the children in verse 26 are saying, "What do you mean by this service?" Because there's a transition that happens in the heart of a child that is being brought to faith. That at first you come to church and you come because you're part of a household that has been set apart to God, mom or dad or hopefully both. In God's ordinary providence, we pray both belong to God by faith in Jesus Christ, and you're coming with them and you're doing all the things and you know them as your parents' God, and you know them, or you know God, sorry, Him, as your parents' God, and you know Him as your household's God, and you know Him as your church's God, and we're praying, and you should pray too. You can ask, and the Holy Spirit will help you even as you ask for Him to do the work in your heart, that some point along the way, the Holy Spirit does that work in your heart, and you know Him as your God, and not just your parents' God, and your household's God, and your church's God. And you go from saying, "What do you mean by this service?" to being maybe, you know, big brother or sister, that one of the little brothers or sisters might ask mom and dad what you mean by this service, but they know that you mean it too, and they might ask you, and you would tell them. Very similar, isn't it, to what the Lord has done for us at the Lord's table. That there are those who are partaking and those who aren't. And of course, the difference is that this was the meal for the night. If you didn't let them have the roast lamb and the unleavened bread, and I love that the vegetables are called bitter, but if you didn't have the unleavened bread and the roast lamb and the vegetables, you wouldn't get supper at all, would you? In 1 Corinthians 11, the apostle says, if it's supper you're looking for, eat it at home. And so those who are believers would partake both physically and spiritually. But it was meant to provoke the children to ask, "What do we mean by this?" And the parents would tell the children about how the Lord had delivered them from Egypt. But they would also tell the children, hopefully a discerning, believing parent would tell the children about the Passover lamb and the blood that we needed to cover us, because we deserved that too. And the fire that had roasted the lamb so that we wouldn't suffer the burning of the wrath of God forever. And of course, we can look back with a lot more knowledge. But if we do that, then ought we not to look at what the Lord has given us? Not just the beginning of every year, but now the beginning of every single week to celebrate in this holy convocation, this whole, you know, holy convocation, sacred assembly, congregation that is set apart to God, to commemorate God saving us in Jesus Christ. He really focuses on the children. He wants you children to see how Christ has died for you and to be asking your parents about the Lord's Supper. What do you mean by that again? Until it comes to be not just what do you mean by that, but what do we mean by that? Because you have come to mean it too, and you are eating the bread and you are drinking the cup. This is part of the great mercy of God to Israel, that he wanted them to start out their year commemorating his salvation and then live out of the memory of and the joy of being those whom God has taken for himself and saved for himself. And it's part of God's mercy to you that he wants you not just to start out your year, but every single week hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, commemorating his salvation, and that you would live every week out of the knowledge and the joy that God has saved you by the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, everyone who believes in him. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your great deliverance of your people from Egypt. We thank you, Lord, for your greater deliverance of all your people by the blood of Jesus Christ, that he has not only died, but on the cross suffered to be forsaken of you, to endure the hell of your wrath for our sin. And we thank you that not only have you done this for us, but you have ordered out our lives in a way that calls our attention to this, that makes us begin every week of our lives to hear and consider and remember and rejoice over once again your salvation of us, your saving us by Jesus Christ. And so we pray that you'd make us to live the rest of the week out of the faith in Christ and the joy over him and gratitude to you for the salvation with which you have saved us. And we pray, Lord, as we see the focus on the children here, and we thank you that you are the same generous and loving covenant God now as you were then, that you have set our children apart. And we pray that you'd help us imitate you and employ your means with them. And we pray that your Spirit would help them and give them spiritual life, that they would come to know you as their Savior who gave Christ for them, that they would come to know Christ as their own personal substitute, his blood covering them and his wrath having been suffered for them. Do this, we pray, for each one of these dear ones. Do this, we pray, for each one of us of every age. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.